And now it's time for another extended edition of our Wisconsin News Roundup.
Governor Walker appointed a new state Supreme Court justice this morning. We'll look at how this will affect the court's opinions and the upcoming elections.
State lawmakers have unveiled proposals to reform the Government Accountability Board and restructure campaign finance laws.
And Governor Walker making headlines trying to work with lawmakers to find money for a number of delayed road construction projects.
Here to talk about those stories and more is Robert Mentzer, storytelling editor for the Wausau Daily Herald and Gannett Central Wisconsin Media. Robert, welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
So Governor Scott Walker appointed Rebecca Bradley to the vacant seat in the Wisconsin State Supreme Court that just happened this morning. What do we know about Rebecca Bradley?
Rebecca Bradley was appointed to Circuit Court earlier by Governor Walker. She is a conservative justice and had support from the Club for Growth, from the Republican Party, and is seen as a quite conservative justice. So she had already announced her candidacy to run for the Supreme Court seat at the time when Justice Patrick Crooks died on September 21st at the Capitol. So that justice's death left a vacancy on the court, and today Governor Walker filled that vacancy. So she will run again in the spring for the April election, but she will now be doing it with the word justice in front of her name instead of judge.
Now, Justice Crooks was often considered a swing vote, so having Justice Bradley in his place, how is that going to affect the composition of the court?
Well, Justice Crooks did, in fact, vote. He did swing. He did vote sometimes with the conservative bloc and sometimes with the more liberals. Though it is probably worth saying that the conservatives have had really a majority on the court since Justice Lewis Butler lost re-election in 2008. So there were times when Crooks was probably one of the justices who could surprise you. He would swing, but it's not actually been and a trade of Justice Rebecca Bradley for Justice Patrick Crooks definitely makes the court more conservative, but it doesn't actually change the balance of power on the court.
Now, there had been some pressure early on from some of the other possible justices in the running for that seat that no one should take that appointment, or at least not just step in like that, because they would have a leg up in the election, which is coming up this April. So given that Justice Bradley now has this appointment, is this being seen as a leg up in that race coming up?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no doubt that incumbency is a leg up, right? I mentioned Justice Lewis Butler. He lost a re-election campaign in 2008, but since then, every time there's been a race, the incumbent justice has won. And I think that in general, incumbents have an advantage in these things. A Supreme Court election is weird, right? It happens in the spring. It's not a officially partisan election, though. Every time I've seen it, the partisans seem to line up and know sort of who they prefer. But it's not a high turnout election, and so it's the sort of thing that having the name justice in front of you or having the power of incumbency is seen as a major benefit. Now, it's not that long either. You know, it's not as if she'll have a long record of jurisprudence as a Supreme Court justice by next spring. So I think it's somewhat of an open question. But yeah, I mean, incumbency makes a difference.
Now, moving on to another story, state Republican lawmakers making news this week, and they unveiled plans to reform the state's Government Accountability Board, wanting to split it into an ethics board and an elections board, two aspects to that in their plan. What do they want to do, and what's driving that?
Sure. Well, this has been signaled for a while as a priority for among Republicans. And this week it was unveiled. So the Government Accountability Board was created in 2007 by combining an ethics board and an elections board into a single and more powerful entity. And that was at the time bipartisan creation and seen as a real step forward for good government. That is what now would be eliminated. So it would go back to essentially what the state had before 2007. It would also be an explicitly political board, where right now the Government Accountability Board is made up of retired judges. Under this proposal, it would be split with there'd be Democratic nominee or appointees, Republican appointees, and then two appointees from the governor. So pretty much by it seems to me like pretty much by design, it would make it. It would ensure that the thing would be deadlocked around anything that was sort of charged or partisan in nature.
And what have Republicans said about why they want to make this happen?
So this is a direct response to the Government Accountability Board's role in the John Doe investigations. I think that is a clear relation. The GAB has an unlimited budget to pursue investigations of ethics issues, and the GAB had a role in investigations into coordination between Governor Scott Walker's campaign and conservative groups. Now, the Supreme Court recently ruled that they're allowed, and it's a new world out there, right? In the post Citizens United world, it's fine. So they quashed that investigation, but not before it caused a considerable amount of headaches and heartburns and cost the state a lot of money as well, investigating Governor Walker's campaign. So guess what? Conservatives don't like that. And I assume that if it were Democrats in power and the GAB were launching investigations into Democratic campaigns, they wouldn't like that either. So this is politics, right?
We're talking right now to Robert Menser, editor for Gannett Central Wisconsin Media, talking about the biggest news stories from around the state this week. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farich. We bring it back now to our weekly review of state news, the Wisconsin News Roundup.
Robert Menser is with us again. He's a storytelling editor for the Wausau Daily Herald and Gannett Central Wisconsin Media. And Robert, another big story from this week centers around Wisconsin's transportation funding. This is an ongoing saga. Now Governor Walker is reportedly meeting with state lawmakers to try to find funding for a bunch of delayed projects. Where are we at with that situation?
So I love this story. This will never die. So the transportation budget was probably one of the most contentious parts of the budget that passed this year, and here we are again. So due to a budget shortfall, the Department of Transportation has announced that it's going to delay a bunch of highway projects. There's a $482 million plan to expand Highway 10 in the Fox Valley. There's a huge $1.2 billion project to widen Interstate 39 south of Madison all the way to Illinois. And there's another one in Highway 23, Fond du Lac and Sheboygan. There are others. But the point is they're putting off these projects by a couple years or more. And there's an argument that by delaying the projects, they're ultimately going to cost more. One estimate that I've seen is that it's going to end up costing the state $160 million more to delay. But how do you pay for these? So some people want them to go forward. So how do you pay for them? Governor Walker had originally proposed borrowing $1.3 billion in his first proposed budget to pay for all the road projects, but legislators didn't want to borrow that much. You will recall that Governor Walker was running for president back at that time, and so he said he would veto an increase in gas tax. He didn't want to see taxes raised. So there's kind of a stalemate, and now here we are. And so some of the same issues are back on the table. How much to borrow? How much to are there taxes to raise or fees that can be raised? Or do we need to do all these projects?
And so given all that extensive backstory, what's likely to happen?
Well, I mean, the thing that I notice is that it seems to me that both Democrats and Republicans, both no one in the sort of in the Capitol is saying this delay is okay. We're okay with the delay. So it feels to me like the politicians here want these projects to move forward. So I think probably what ends up happening is some combination, right? A compromise where they're going to borrow a bunch of money and maybe they can hike some fees or something so that it's not all borrowing. But when I hear Democrats talking about it or see their releases on this, they're not saying, good, let's let these projects die. They're saying, let's find a way to pay for them.
Are taxpayers in particular, you think, weighing in one way or the other on this?
Well, I mean, who likes a gas tax increase? That's not likely to be a politically popular policy. On the other hand, cars have become more fuel efficient, and the gas tax just isn't. It's been a long time since the gas tax covered the cost of transportation. There's an interesting thing that does exist in the grassroots among especially like environmental groups, which is really questioning the wisdom of some of these projects. So, you know, I drive Interstate 39 south of Madison. It doesn't seem that bad to me. I don't, you know what I mean? I wonder. And so there has been some environmentalist groups like the 1000 Friends of Wisconsin that have brought lawsuits against the State Department of Transportation about how they estimate traffic, you know, sort of project future traffic for these projects. And they've said, you know what, let these projects don't need to go forward.
We're talking with Robert Menser right now, editor for Gannett Central Wisconsin Media. We're getting our state roundup right now. And Robert, we're going to wrap up with a story out of the state legislature and a hearing this week on a bill that would allow college graduates to refinance their student loans. How would this work?
So this is a big Democratic priority. We heard they had introduced a similar plan last year, and they've introduced it again. And there was a hearing. The idea is you can do it with your mortgage. If interest rates go down, you can refinance and try to get a better deal on the loans that you took out. It's actually unusual. It's actually odd that in a way that you can't with student loans. However, it's unprecedented for a state to pass a law that would allow this sort of refinancing. Wisconsin would be the first state in the union to allow it.
And as you said, this is a Democratic proposal in a Republican-controlled legislature. So given that, maybe prospects not so good. But are there any aspects of this that you think could end up working its way into some form of past legislation?
Oh, I mean, yeah, no, it's completely hopeless in the short term, right? There's no chance of that. But it is what Democrats are doing, and it's a legitimate thing to do is elevating this as an issue. And there are some elements within this proposal. There's one part that includes sort of increased financial counseling for students when they take out loans and for parents. And that's something that Republicans have said they can support, increasing the education on that. And what it really does is the discussion makes you think about the scale of the numbers. There are 815,000 Wisconsinites with student debt. The average debt for someone with a bachelor's degree is more than $28,000. And the total student debt for Wisconsin residents is $19 billion. So, of course, it has an economic effect. It definitely has an economic effect for people who are carrying around that kind of debt.
Robert, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you.
That was Robert Menser, storytelling editor for the Wausau Daily Herald, giving us our Wisconsin State News Roundup this week.